hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be one of them, one mind, and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, that's that through 18 was as far as I wanted to go for now. Okay, so now as we're looking at Revelation, what's the key to Revelation?
Signs.
It's signs. Okay, and so is a rainbow in Revelation?
No.
No, it represents something. How do we know what it would represent? What's a clue that would help us to be able to understand what it would represent? Where are we going to go?
Bible.
The Bible. Okay. And so so as you look at, and we've been doing this clear through this, as you look at the Bible and you see a rainbow, what do you see? You see hope. You see also?
Sign.
A sign, but what else does that sign represent? What's behind that sign?
God's behind it.
God's behind it. And what about God? What does that sign of hope represent?
He keeps his promises.
He keeps his promises. Okay. God said, I will never again do what?
Flood the earth.
I will never again destroy it by flood. Did he say, I'll never destroy it by fire?
No.
No. He said, I won't destroy it by water. Okay. And so we've got to remember this as we try to piece these things together. Because if we go outside of the Bible to try to put a definition on some of these signs, which, you know, a whore is not a whore, okay? It represents something else. We've looked at the adultery, the spiritual adultery of disobeying God, all right? And so, consequently, we can see as we follow this through that this thing, that 666, the shy of perfection, it looks real good, but it's not, okay? It looks like it's religion. It looks like it's God's will, but it's not God's will because it disobeys. We change something. And when we change something that God has said, we're shy of perfection. And so as we've looked at this through here, we've seen these things. And so I think we've got to keep that in mind. All right. And so don't allow the ideas that we see in all of these things to create a problem. Don't look for a 666 on somebody's forehead, okay? The forehead represents what? The mind, the seat of the emotions, okay? And so when our mind is not with God, it's against God, all right? And so our hand, what's a hand represent? What we do, okay? Our deeds, okay? And so as we look at these things, we got to represent, got to go to the Bible to find out what it means. All right, so we're looking at this, and the 10 horns, which you saw where?
On the beast.
On the beast, all right? And the beast is, it represents Satan and the authority of Satan, all right? The 10 horns would be the power, all right? And Satan has power. Don't think Satan doesn't have power. He's alive. He's well. He's working. He bound. All right, Jesus bound his power when he died on the cross, right? All right, we saw that. And so, but there's still power, okay? We get in within his grasp, you know. Satan, it's kind of like a chain that a dog's chained, all right? If you walk within that circle of dead grass, can a dog get you? Yeah. So if you walk within Satan's grasp, he can get you. But if you stay out of that realm, you don't have to worry about that. And so that's where we need to keep that in mind. So the 10 horns on the beast, what do they do? What do they do in verse 16?
They hate the harlot
and
make her desolate.
Yeah, and naked. Eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Okay? You know, the 10 horns of the beast, you know, is logically I believe, the denominational error, you know. And it's going to be seen what it is, what it's worth on Judgment Day. You know, you get into 18 and following, we're looking at a scene of the Judgment Day. All right? And this is why in chapter 18, he's calling for people to come out and to change. Because once the Judgment Day comes, there's no time to come out anymore. You know, Abraham said to the rich man, who said, please have Lazarus go back from the dead and tell my brothers to not come to this place. What did he tell him? Remember?
Said they could go back even if they wanted to
go back. Yeah, but he also said, even if somebody raised from the dead, they won't believe him. Yeah. Said they've got Moses and the prophets. In other words, that gives us a little clue here. We've got the Bible. We've got the New Testament that we can go to see what God's will is. And if we don't listen to that, it won't do us any good to have a sign. We've got to accept what it says, guys. And the whole thing, the whole Bible is teaching us, look at the words that are there. Jesus respected even the tense of the verb. And so how much attention should we pay to the words that God has put in the text? Okay? And so it's not going to do any good for some person to rise from the dead and come back and say, oh, you're doing something wrong. Now, your loved ones are pleading that somebody come back and tell you if you're doing something wrong. But you've got the Bible. If you don't listen to the Bible, you won't listen to them.
Yeah, Revelation is really a book of hope. Written in a time of war.
Oh.
And it was written in a way that the Hebrews would understand what's written in this book, but nobody else around them would understand.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's a challenge. And of course, it's still a challenge today. The deceitfulness of the whore is still very much alive and well. Okay? They had it then, and we looked at some of the passages that talked about the denominational error that was present at this particular time, and the prophecies of more coming, and so at any rate, that's where we've got to kind of look at some of these things. And so now I want to go in verse 17. It says, "For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will and to agree, and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled." Now let's go and let's look at a couple passages. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10.
Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment.
Okay. Now, God is reminding the Christians at Corinth. No divisions, guys. You be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Now, you know why he's saying this? Because there's division. Read verse 11.
For it hath been declared unto me and of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you.
See, and that's why he's writing. Even at that time, these are contentions are there, and he's reminding them, no division, guys. All right? And as we go through the book of 1 Corinthians, we see some of the struggles that they were dealing with. They didn't respect one another when it comes to the Lord's Supper. They'd have people that was coming in late, and so they would gobble up the Lord's Supper, and they'd get there and say, "Too bad for you, I had it." Okay, there was fornication, sexual immorality. There was brother taking the brother to court, and this is wrong. So they were teaching and doing things that were wrong and improper. There were misuse of the spiritual gifts which they had in the first century. And they were thinking that they were better or more important than somebody else because they could speak in tongues. And they're all important, and so they were dividing. We must be united in the same mind and the same judgment. Now, can we unite on something that is against what God has said? Would that be okay? We'd be in the same mind, right? Be in the same judgment. Would that be right? No. We have to be united on what God says. Okay? So let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I want to back up and get a little bit more of it. In chapter 2, I want to begin in verse 7. And now keep in mind, this is the first century, you know. And the first centuries in the book of Revelation was written, they were dealing with a lot of struggles and problems. They were dealing with persecution. But they were also dealing with the denominational error, the false teaching that was coming in. So somebody start reading verse 7.
For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way.
Now, let me define a word here. The word letteth is hinder. Okay? And so, this is, in the old King James, we've got some words that means totally different from what they used to mean when it was translated. So in 1768, when this was translated, the word letteth means to hinder. Okay, so properly read that, we would have to say, only he who now hinders will hinder until he be taken out of the way. All right? Okay, so we're looking, we're not allowing something here, but we're hindering something. Does that make sense? Okay, yes, sir.
Verse 2, the Judaizers would, in order to go behind Paul, they would actually present letters saying this was from the church in Jerusalem, contradicting what Paul taught.
Oh, yeah, there was, I just read chapter 6, or 17 through 20 this morning, and all of those Jewish, those Jews were following Paul from Thessalonica to Berea to from one place to another, and they're persecuting him, and they would give him all kinds of grief because he didn't agree with what they wanted. And so, you know, they were even stoned him at one point and left him for dead. They hated him. In the name of God?
Yeah, they were teaching circumcision.
Yeah. Yeah, they had to take a trip to Jerusalem to get all this settled with the circumcision nonsense. Remember that? Was that yesterday we read that in chapter 15? And what's the deal here? And so, Satan is the root of that. He who now hinders will hinder. Until he be taken out of the way. When is Satan actually taken out of the way?
He was taken out of the way when Christ died on that cross and rose from the dead.
Yeah, but Thessalonians are written after that, and so there's another stage to that. Judgment Day. Okay? And so, you know, he was taken out. He was bound when Jesus died on the cross. You and I have forgiveness. He can't get us unless we allow him. All right? But he's going to continue to hinder until the judgment day. So we've got to keep this in the mind when we're looking at the beast and the whore and the dragon in Book of Revelation. We're dealing with Satan as influence. You know, this whore is just simply denominational error. In other words, we really believe good about what we're doing in religion. And this is called a Christian nation. And I'm thinking, how far removed are we? Fornication is just openly welcome and cherished. You know, people living together in sin. You know, the thievery and the trash, that, you know, Walmart doesn't even stop you if you steal something anymore. They just let you go. Where have we come? You know, the dishonesty in all walks of life, from government on down to the drug dealer. And we pat it on the back and we call ourselves the Christian nation. And then religion as a whole is, doesn't matter what you do, it's all okay. God never said that. In fact, see, as he deals with this stuff, we can see this through the, in 1 Corinthians, he said, look, you got to stop it. It doesn't matter if you say it's okay, it's not okay. It's what God says. And so we got to come back to what the whore actually is. And so this mystery of iniquity, it's going to continue until we're taken out of the way. Now, verse 8.
Shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming.
Okay, notice, then, okay, when that particular, when Satan's taken out of the way, it's not going to happen until the judgment day. Okay, Satan is bound, but he's still alive and well. And at the judgment day, he's cast into the bottomless pit and it's sealed. Okay. And so he is going to continue that. But at that particular point, at the judgment day, we'll learn in chapter 18, okay, but it's too late, guys. Now's the time to come out of the whore. Now's the time to serve the Lord. Okay, keep going.
Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved.
Notice here. Now watch this. With all deceivableness of righteousness in them that perish, why?
Because they didn't believe.
No, it's not what it says.
They did not receive.
What?
The love of the truth.
The love of the truth. The love of the truth. If we love the truth, what do? We obey what it says, right? And so what's truth? What's truth?
God's word.
God's word is truth. And so if we want truth, we're going to have to go to God's word. If we love God's word, what are we going to follow?
What he says.
And where do we find what he says? In the Bible. Okay? And so if I write up a neat little deal, are you going to believe what I say? No. You're going to go back to the Bible and say, what does the Bible say? Don't put your faith in me. Because you won't make it. I can teach you the truth, but you still better not put your faith in me. You put it in God. If I teach you the truth, believe it for the truth's sake. Not because it came through me. I'm no different than you. Me and you are just alike. We make mistakes. And hearing by the word of God. That's right. Okay. How many daily Bible readers do we got? I forgot to ask.
Short about 2 weeks.
Okay. All right. Watch it. Tell your boss.
No, I got it on the phone.
I read it on my phone every day.
I can.
Yep. Yep. Okay. All right. So they receive not a love of the truth. For what reason? Back to the verse. That they might be saved. Yeah. You're going to have to love the truth or you won't be saved. You know, if you don't have that love for the truth, it ain't going to work. Okay? The truth is there. It's your choice what you're going to do with it.
It don't really matter what you think.
Yeah.
What feels good.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's something that happens nowadays, is the feel-good religion is taught.
Yeah.
That this feels right. It don't matter what the Bible says.
Right.
It contradicts what the Bible says.
Yeah, and it's kind of like toolmakers can talk toolmaker talk, and they understand each other. Okay. And it upsets me because I've talked to preachers and say, well, that's not what I'm taught to teach. I know it's wrong, but that's not what I'm taught to teach. And that's what, you know, that's what goes on, you know. And then we've got those, you know, the televangelists have given religion a black eye because of their seeming desire for more money and a following. We're going to have to go back to wanting people to go to heaven. We're going to have to love the truth. Keep going. Verse 11.
and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie.
Whoa. They don't love the truth. And so what are they sent?
A lie. A delusion.
A strong delusion. You know, the thinking in today is everybody's okay as long as you profess to be godly. Whatever you do is just fine. It doesn't matter.
Is delusion forbidden this?
A delusion is something that we believe is right and it looks good to us. And that's, guys, that's denominational error. I talk with people all the time and they believe these things that they hear from some preacher. And then when we sit down and we look at the Bible, they say, well, I never saw that before. You know, I talked to somebody the other day and I've been working with them for a long time, and they have this belief that, you know, they're just a great, fine, upstanding Christian, and they say, one of these days I'm going to go to church. I said, do you realize that God requires that? Well, no, they never heard such a thing. And you know how prevalent that is? You know, the idea and the attitude, the saying used to be, Jesus yes and church no. But they don't understand the Bible that Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. They don't know that passage. They don't understand how essential the church is, and they don't understand that it's got to be the priority in their life or they're not going to make it to heaven. We need to make sure that we understand that, and those are the things that the Bible teaches.
Yeah, and that goes way beyond denominationalism.
It does.
ISIS.
All that is religion. Yeah. All that is religion, whether you're into Buddhism or whatever, any ism, it doesn't matter. If it's not what God says, you don't love the truth. You know, and the thing is, the evidences of the Bible, we can go back and prove the existence of the Bible. We can prove that it was written over a period of about 1,600 years by about 40 different men, and it totally agrees from beginning to end. All right? The Quran was written over a few hundred years, and then when they wanted to consolidate it, they went over the known Muslim world, and they pulled out a few books that they like, and they threw them together and called it. Not a one of them have any aspect of inspiration. You get into the sayings of Confucius and some of those Eastern religions. They don't have the basis and the background that the Word of God has. They don't have the evidence that is surrounded by the Word of God. The Word of God is so prolific in evidence that proves that it's true and it's real and that it's outside of the scope of man's thinking. It's overwhelming. We need to study that. We need to see that. We need to understand that. And when we do, we better go back to it and love it enough to swallow our pride and do what it says. Because this whore is great. Doesn't matter. That whore is just whatever. Whatever is that is not the truth. And put forth as a truth. And that's what we've got to, I believe, see as we're looking at this.
Last week I talked to a gentleman that goes to another church here in town. They used to have 300 people come there.
Mm-hmm.
They're down to 50 people because of another church that took them away from the Bible and everything, you know, he talked about it. And he says best because they just follow, but they like what they see over there.
Well, we follow in religion a lot of times. What we're following is a stream or a desire, or, you know, I've known people, they go to a church because it's a business advantage. We better go back to the Bible and look what it says. I love that conversation Friday night. And her grandson was disgusted with all the churches he went to because they didn't teach the Bible. I want to talk to him. And so I'm excited about that. And hopefully she'll give in and do that. So
nowadays it's about a feel.
Bell.
People say, well, it doesn't feel right over here. Or it doesn't feel right over there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not about the word.
Yeah. Yeah, they, you know, and this is where...
Feel and politics.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, guys, we've got to be very careful. Let's not put anybody down. Let's go back to the Bible and study the Bible and have a good time together.
I wonder how can... I don't think that other churches take them away. Something has happened that made them want to go.
Yeah, I think.
Because I don't think a church can actually... I don't know, maybe I'm wrong.
We're reading Acts, which I'm enjoying greatly.
Yeah.
And when the Jews wouldn't listen, they preached to the Gentiles. And then in Antioch, they became Christian.
Isn't it neat?
It is. And so...
It's
Christians.
Yeah.
You're striving to be.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter whether you started out as a Jew or you started out as a Gentile or you started out as whatever, if you end up... Christian.
Yeah, that's the key. It doesn't matter where we've been. What matters is what we become before the judgment.
If that journey gets you there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's important.
Well, if you're in Christ, you've been to the cross.
And right.
You know that Christ died for your sins. And without that, without going, being baptized, being risen from the water, confessing Christ. You're not saved. And the denominations don't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to get them to that cross.
Yeah.
To see that through the Word, because the Word's what's going to speak to their heart.
That's right. That's right. Yep. And so we've got to be careful of the delusion. And one of the things, I think we brought a lot of problems on ourselves over the years. I loved what was said to me the other night, and the attitude and the thinking was a fear that if we disagreed on something, it would no longer be friends. You know, I tell you what, religious people brought that on themselves. Look, if we disagree, why don't we keep talking and stay friends and work together to keep studying the Bible? Isn't that what we should do? You know? And there's been too many people that have become angry because they didn't disagree. Well, that's what's wrong with our nation now. You know, we disagree on something, so what do? We become enemies. Well, that's not Christian. Jesus said, love who? Your enemies. Do good to them and one another. But the thing is, and that's where, you know, I don't know, you know, I kind of wonder how we got here, but then... You know, I'm thinking about the terrible conflict, as Wayne put it, that it's in our nation. Maybe it started with what we call a Christian nation. And when we disagree on something religiously, we can't even associate with one another. How terrible. Why can't we keep a proper dialogue and love one another? You know, in the 40s and 50s, they'd sit on the back porch and debate religion back and forth all the time. And they still were friends.
Like a roadmap, there are many roads to the same destination.
But the thing is, and the key is, are we coming to the destination? And we've got to come to Christ and what He says. And that's the whole thing about all this. God sends a strong delusion that they might believe a lie. A lie won't get us to heaven, but hopefully it'll bring us to where we need to be. Right?
Hardening the Pharaoh's heart.
Yeah.
Here we have him sending a strong delusion.
Well, and that maybe that's a good thing here. Okay, now let's stop and think and hold your thought, okay? We're talking here about God who sends a strong delusion so they'd be alive, believe a lie. Why is it that? Because their heart's hard. Okay? So Pharaoh, you know, and you know, we spent a lot of time talking about Pharaoh's hard heart, haven't we? And how God hardened his heart and trying to understand that concept. Okay? Now, The reason that the only logical, biblical reason we can do that is because he already had a hard heart and God did things that he didn't like, which made him even harder, okay? And so these people that God sends a strong delusion to that they might believe a lie are people that have a hard heart. They just want it their way, okay? And so, and the thing is, all in all, it seems to culminate in one judgment day. All right, and we've got to use these things to make sure we got a soft heart.
You know, I don't think people in the denominational world always have a hard heart.
No, I don't either.
I think that
I see wonderful, loving people.
Good people.
Yes.
And they believe sincerely what they've been taught. The problem is they have not been taught the truth.
Right. Universally, they're not taught, pointed to the Bible. They don't look at the Bible because I talk to them all the time. All the time. And so, Brian, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I don't want to take you off the fence either. Matthew 7, I just think I like what they're saying here.
Okay, Matthew chapter 7.
Verse 21, 22, and so on. But it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. I mean, that's the thing. People think that they can get part of the truth and be okay. But that's not what the Bible says.
That is not what the Bible says. Guys, these people were professing the name of God. They were doing great deeds in God's name. And they were just as lost as they could be. Guys, I think we need to pray that we have open eyes. We need to pray that we have a soft heart so that when we come to something, if it's not what God says, we just need to give in. Because somebody coming back from the dead is not going to tell you nothing. Okay? And if you have loved ones that are lost, do they want you to follow them? They're pleading with you that you don't follow them. Either that or Jesus was a liar in Luke 16, and he's not a liar. And so, you know, when I struggle with things, you know, I've got to still come back to this. And I make the joke, you ain't going to tell me nothing, but God can. And I do that as making a point. In other words, God has authority. And honestly, I do listen, you know, and I do try to have a good attitude, but I don't like to be bossed, but, you know, it's the world we live in. But the point being, God's in charge. We need to listen to God.
On the same passage, Brian, the same drop down to 26.
Yeah, Matthew 7, 26.
But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand, and the rain descended. The floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and it was a great fall. Who's going to fall?
Yeah.
Yeah,
the foolish one. The foolish one that does not do the will of the Father. And these are the things, guys, that we've got to remember. We've got to follow. You know, I wish that you could be with me in the many situations that I am. And the wonderful religious people that have no clue what the Bible says. And they're they feel very good about what they're doing. We got a job to do. We've got a message to carry. And we must be very careful to make sure that we carry that message to the best of our ability.
Well, you know what's exciting now? We've got an